Hello and welcome to Root Causes, the PKI and Security podcast, where pairs of industry veterans talk about all matters digital certificates and PKI. I'm Tim Callen, Senior Fellow at Sigtigo, and I'm joined by Jason Sirocco, CTO of PKI at Sigtigo. How are you doing today, Jay?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
So we're here today. We're talking about a news item in the world of cryptographic algorithms. And in particular, I'm looking at a ZDNet article from May 27, I believe it is. And the headline reads, OpenSSH to deprecate SHA-1 logins due to security risk. So I guess I would start by saying people are still using SHA-1?
Yeah, they are. And in fact, previous podcasts that we've done, Tim, we talked about SHA-1, especially within the context of encryption. We've talked about it in the context of SSL certificates.
Yeah, right.
In this case, we're now talking about SSH keys.
Yeah, and so... This is obviously, there's a lot of directions to go with this. First of all, SHA-1, we all got to stop using SHA-1, right? We've talked about this in the past because it's not really considered to be secure anymore. But I don't know. I guess what I kind of meant from that question is, doesn't it feel like we've already talked about this and been through this a few years ago? And how come this is happening now? Like, doesn't this feel like a 2017 headline?
Yeah, well, I can tell you, of course, you know, when you're a tech journalist, you try to make things interesting. You try to make things fresh and new.
Sure.
And I think what is new here is OpenSSH as a project, right, as an open source software project, has been warning now from several versions back that there was going to be deprecation of SHA-1.
Okay.
So, the default cryptographic algorithm that was used in OpenSSH for a very, very long time was SHA-1. It was the SSH-RSA command line issuance. Whenever you're using OpenSSH, it was just a default. It was built right in. And so what's different now is that the default will be changing to SHA-256.
Okay.
And... additionally, it looks like within the latest version, OpenSSH is actually including a methodology. It's actually including a command line option that actually enables the automatic automatic update of the algorithm itself, which is great. And I think what is brand new, and this is what really, if the headline would not have been as great to read, but really what they're trying to warn is that in future versions of OpenSSH, the ability to actually use SHA-1 will be completely deprecated out.
So they're just going to stub it out entirely. We've seen this. A lot of people do this, right? You don't want to break a bunch of people by surprise one day. So you do things to telegraph it in advance. You make it harder to use. You make them go in and deliberately pick it. And then you let them know you can do this for the next 9 months. But then guess what? It's just going, right? That's a very common approach that people take to deprecating this kind of functionality. I guess the question I would ask is this scary, though, that SHA-1 is still available for OpenSSH today?
It could be. Yeah. It could be. I definitely think that it's still there for the fact that key rotation within certain kinds of secure communications is difficult to change. I think, Tim, to really answer your question in a slightly different way, which is what are the scary use cases and scenarios? I think a lot of embedded devices that are using older implementations of OpenSSH that may never, ever be able to be upgraded, those are the ones I'm most worried about.
Sure. And that's actually one of the use cases we just saw in the AdTrust root rollover is like old embedded devices were some of the devices that couldn't handle that because for that exact same reason. So what do we do? I mean, at the end of the day, if these devices are out there and we feel like this, you know, protocol is not cryptographically secure, do we just have to live with that for the lifetime of the devices?
Potentially, yes. So therefore, you know, for devices that are consumer level devices that are in the hands of consumers, you know, there may or may not be issues with that. And the chances of those things ever being fixed are not great. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's a corporate communication from to the customers, you know, to say, hey, if you're making the assumption that the communications of this device are secure, just be careful how you use it. I mean, who knows? It could be something like that. But then again, if the devices were embedded inside of, if OpenSSH was embedded in devices such as for industrial systems or critical infrastructure, taking an inventory of those weaker devices and how they're being used might be part of what you want to do.
Yeah, and then this kind of goes back to another conversation that we always have when we have this, which is, geez, if you can't update the outdated cryptography, then what are the chances that you can patch the 0 days? You know, and if you can't do that, then gosh, you have fundamentally an insecure system, and maybe you need to be asking yourself if more extreme measures are required, like replacing those devices.
Yeah, that's right, Tim. And I think in some cases that might be true. Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of other cases, there's already so many devices that have such weak security. In other words, when you consider, you know, hard-coded username and passwords that can get you a root shell within a device, compared to, say, you know, a deprecated cryptographic algorithm, I think there's even lower hanging fruit available for the bad guys right now.
Right. Yeah. You might say, I doubt that anybody's going to put the processing power in necessary to compromise my refrigerator. Now, on the other hand, if they can make my power plant blow up, that's another matter. And so for that second one, maybe we better go pull that meter out. And for the first one, maybe we figure the fridges are the fridges and they're going to attrition out over time.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Tim. Now, those consumer level devices, I already have a pretty big fear about them. In fact, I would, if we were to do an informal survey right now about a whole pile of different consumer level devices, I'm betting they're not even using something as strong as a SSH keys.
Right. Yes. That's why we keep having botnets, isn't it?
Seems to be the case.
Maybe a quick topic. Anything else that we need to cover on this topic, Jay, that I missed?
No, I think for the practitioner who mm-hmm. is, you know, the Linux administrator, whoever it is that is responsible for the OpenSSH implementation at your enterprise, I would say check out the documentation of the new version. Check out what the changes are. Check out how to auto-upgrade and auto-rotate your keys. I think that it might be time for you to start looking at automating SSH keys as well.
Sure.
Thinking about the idea that we talked about on previous podcasts about to putting those keys into certificates so you can enact timing policies.
Right.
But for right now, the most important thing would be making sure that, you know, if you're going to upgrade OpenSSH, understand the implications of the fact that, you know, the defaults of the cryptographic algorithm are going to change. And rotate those keys out.
All right, cool. So there you go. That's it. OpenSSH deprecating shell. Let me just ask you this, and we may already have answered this one, but do you think we're going to see more headlines like this as time goes on? Are there still significant industry components that have SHA-1 deprecation still in their future and not in their past?
Unfortunately, I think some of the next set of SHA-1 news we might hear is where perhaps where SHA-1 is used in ways that we never thought.
Mm.
And it's going to continue to be in things such as embedded devices, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing that happens, right? When you find is you get something as broad and ubiquitous as some of these cryptographic standards, and there are usages you literally don't know about. And then what happens is when some level of functionality is deprecated, no matter how hard everyone looks for it, you never find it because there's something that's just sitting there running and nobody knows. And then you turn it off and all of a sudden something's breaking that nobody's thought about in 15 years. And it turns out that was why. So yes, probably there will be some of that as well. And that's a lot of the hard work that goes on with switching systems over, right? This is how come we think it's going to take a long time to get to the quantum safe cryptographic algorithms, right? For the exact same reason. So there's a bunch of stuff that'll swap out really fast. And then there's a long tail that will be difficult to isolate and understand and change.
That's exactly right, Tim. And I think in this case with SHA-1, that has an incredibly long tail because of just how incorporated it was at the default level of so many things that we've done.
Yeah, and you know, less thought of the concept of crypto agility, right? If you go back in time, even 5 years, you know, certainly 10 years, we weren't as keen to the need for crypto agility as we are now. So if you're setting up something up from scratch today, you're thinking about how do I swap out these algorithms completely and correctly and expediently when I need to. 5 years ago, certainly 10 years ago, probably wasn't high on your list of things to think about.
Yeah, I would say about 5 years ago, I was thinking about it quite a lot, but I don't think it was on the top of mind of people who were really on the front lines of this.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the industry is going that way, but for your kind of working IT professional, there hadn't been a lot of communication and education on that point, and it wasn't not really good tools even, and it wasn't something that a lot of people were putting on their checklists.
That's exactly right, Tim. Yeah. But here we are. You know, we still have headlines about major protocols that are used on a daily basis. So
I know. So get crypto agile, everybody.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
You got it.
This has been Root Causes.